Chapter 4, The Multi-Talented Praise Team. Verse 1, After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will shew unto thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. The decline of the churches is now self-evident from our discourse with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he admonishes the angels or elders of the 7 churches in Asia to either repent or have their lampstand that holds the light or spirit removed. Ephesus represented the church of the first century, which had become laid back and easygoing and had suffered from a virus called sin, while the church of Pergamos experienced spiritual fornication and a devil-may-care attitude. Thyatira acquired a Jezebelian spirit, and Sardis was a dead church, while the church of Philadelphia became a sanctuary of brotherly love, after which the church of Laodicea was now spiritually bankrupt. For the past 2,000 years, the church has undergone a tremendous transformation, as she has slowly but surely lost and left her first love. Finally, in one fell swoop, she has accepted all that glitters and glows and has embraced the love of money, her new God, and the church now is Christless and has slipped into open apostasy. Renowned songstress Roberta Flack sings in her album and song, Go Up Moses. My people, let the Pharaoh go. You don't need him. You don't need his tricks. You don't need his trinkets. Let Pharaoh go. Pharaoh doesn't want, but he needs you. My people, let Pharaoh go. Without you, there is no Pharaoh. So all you have to do to let him go is to let him go. Just wake up tomorrow morning and say, Bye, Pharaoh. Roberta Flack. The message to the 7 churches has not completely fallen on deaf ears, and not everyone has itchy ears. As the lyrics of Go Up Moses confesses, we will discuss Pharaoh in greater length as we begin to examine Israel and her coming role in future chapters. But for now, we need to realize that Pharaoh doesn't want, but he needs you. And Pharaoh is typified as the world system of things. So all you have to do to let him go is to let him go. Wake up tomorrow and say, Bye, Pharaoh. The removal of the churches of Asia signals that God is now preparing to keep his promises to Israel in the next tellings. Something new and exciting is now taking place concerning John on his journey on the Isle of Patmos. Revelation 4:1, After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. Now, let's contrast John's vision with that of Rabbi Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:2, where the rabbi is caught up to the third heaven and then into paradise, where he heard unspeakable words which were not lawful for him to speak. But here in John's case, Jesus has commanded John to write in a book and send it unto the seven churches in Asia. John's testimony is a no-hold-bars presentation to the churches. Now, John also realizes that he can't confirm that he is in the Spirit and not in his human body. No longer human conscious on earth, but Spirit conscious in heaven. We might call this an out-of-body experience for John. The magnitude of the things seen and heard by John might have been most frightening to him to have had to experience them in the flesh. The flesh, the mortal, is an unprepared vessel for such things. We are quickly transported with John from one realm, the earthly, to the heavenly realm, where more revelations begins to unfold. And John has a ringside seat, so to speak. Revelation 4:2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. In the beginning of this chapter, we have the testimony of the prosecution, Jesus, who laments the conditions of the churches and brings railing accusation for their sleeping on the job. The prosecution, Jesus, then becomes the advocate for the same churches as he recognizes the cause of their discomfort and offers a corrective plan of action to be taken by each church. Jesus does not give them a free pass, as he warns each elder that unless they repent, unless they have a change of heart and mind, there will be impending judgment. What compassion does the Son have for the children of men, as does the Father? As Jesus seeks to save all that the Father has placed in his hand, that none should be lost. And although this heartfelt sentiment cannot and will not save those who, for whatever reason, reject the Son, every effort is being extended to the elders to rebuke the advances of the enemy, as the coming scenes in this drama will herald the arrival of the supreme judge and creator, Jehovah God, upon his throne of righteousness. This is the scene now brought into view as the court with the thrones appear. One who could not be seen because of his brilliance sits upon the throne. And surrounding his court are 24 other smaller thrones that seat elders of renown. What immediately catches John's attention is a throne that is unmistakably different from the other 24 thrones. This particular throne looms before him. The appearance of this singular throne bears great significance, as there is one who sits upon his throne. The jasper shown in a see-through green color, according to Exodus 28:20, jasper is one of the precious stones mounted in gold and fixed in the breastplate of the priest with the 11 other precious stones. Now, the sardine stone is dark red and is mentioned in Ezekiel 28. When referencing Lucifer and how Lucifer was richly adorned in the Garden of Eden before iniquity was found in him. Ezekiel 28:12. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, carnelian, chrysolite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis, lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. The carnelian stone is actually the sardine stone spoken in Revelation 4. What next arrests John's attention is the emerald rainbow surrounding the throne. And we remember the rainbow from Genesis 9 and 11, and it reads thusly, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. We have here the Noahidic covenant that God will not destroy the world, the earth again with water, but by fire the next time. And the earth has suffered destruction several times. Of course, we have the time when the Bible declared that there was war in heaven, and again in Psalms 104:30, it reads, thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Did you hear that? And thou renewest the face of the earth. Whenever re is placed in front of a word in the Bible, it indicates a do-over, a remaking. With God, everything broken will be restored, as this was his first intention when creation began, that all was good. This was eaten proper, and it shall be eaten again, except all of the earth will be an Eden when the devil of old is cast into Gehenna, into the lake of fire. This rainbow is emerald in color. Unlike the traditional rainbows that we see here on earth that are multicolored, but is reflected of the renewing of the earth that will take place. Around the throne of God are stationed the thrones of the 24 elders, of which 1 Peter 2 and 9 speaks. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy. These are not divine beings, but the redeemed of the earth, that have gone through the fiery trials and have proved themselves worthy to be granted access into his presence, as he had promised the church of Philadelphia, and as we will later learn in the latter part of the book of Revelation. These elders are made up from the elders of the Old Testament and the New Testament, 24 in number altogether. The scene that has captured and affixed John is a spectacular display of resplendent colors of green, red, and surely gold, a display that is witnessed with the loudest sound of a trumpet blaring with lightning and thunder, designed to illustrate the majesty of our God. Nothing that man has dreamt of in his philosophy could ever emulate such a display of might and power taking place before John's eyes. There were voices added to the mix, and also the presence of the sevenfold Holy Spirit, lamps that were burning that accompanied this exuberant extravaganza. The Bible tells us that the throne of God, including the lesser thrones of the 24 elders, was seated atop a sea of transparent light glass. This was no ordinary glass that could hold such a monumental congregation that also included four living creatures that have been referred to as beasts, except the Greek version has them known as Zoon and Therion, which would not be beast. These four living creatures cannot be counted as angels, but another class of celestial beings who have been granted authority to be a multi-talented praise team in this scene, along with the 24 elders. The prophet Ezekiel shares with us some startling information concerning these living creatures that Revelation says in 4 and 7. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts each had of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Exodus 14:28, starting in that fourth verse. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. The prophet Ezekiel continues in his explanation as to what he had seen in his vision here in verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my first face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. We have two visions, both in Ezekiel and here in Revelation, concerning the majesticness of these living creatures with four faces. Their wings were stretched upward, and two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. The living creatures were full of eyes surrounding their entire bodies, and these living creatures were able to speak in giving perpetual glory to our God. Yes, these are creatures rather than beasts, and that they have intelligence not given to beasts. Beasts are unable to talk, as these beings are, coupled with the fact that these living creatures have the ability to willfully give praise and thanks. These living creatures also have authority, and that we shall see that they will be able to summon other celestial beings into action later on in our discussions. Revelation 4 and 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Such a marvelous scenery of a throne room captures the imagination of our brother and friend John, as he is witness to this spectacular display of might, majesty, and power of the living God. There can be no doubt as to who created the heavens and the earth in man's beginning that was purpose for man. Scientists would tell us that the earth is around 4.5 billion years old. They will also tell us that they believe the universe is 13.5 billion years old. And we know from reading the Bible that the earth was created after the existence of the spiritual world. We also know from the Bible that the earth has been cursed and has been destroyed in the past. And we are informed that the earth will be restored to its initial glory after a period of 1,000 years. Throughout this rich period of time, Jehovah God has sat upon his throne. He has administered a supremacy of love, not only for man, but also for his celestial attendants, including beings that are not familiar to human understanding, but have given them a grand standing within the kingdom. Regardless of their physical makeup, they are more noble than the rocks which would cry out if men refused to praise him. The Bible does not paint an adequate picture of the bodies of these living creatures and is silent as to their build. But perhaps when the Bible is silent, might we also be silent? Suffice it to say that we see in the book of Isaiah that these living creatures have hands to give and receive, which might make them of a class of special seraphims, as they have 6 wings likened to these seraphims here in chapter 4. In Isaiah 6:6, it reads, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Taking into account the descriptions that we read in the book of Isaiah, we have a more accurate description of these beings who now decorate the court of the Most High and stand ready to give praise in the company of the 24 elders unto him who liveth forever and ever. The spiritual decline of the church here in the book of Revelation is a stern warning to us today that while we think we are standing, we may in essence be in a state of fall. Too much attention today is given to those who have attained considerable wealth as though the accumulation of wealth is a sign of any holiness or that one has a unique relationship with God. When did we count wealth as a measure of a right relationship with heaven? And when did we cater to the wealthy as though they had a monopoly on God? Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. It is by the fruit that is produced from their actions that we will know whether men have gathered grapes or thorns or figs or thistles, or that they are a good tree that bringeth forth good fruit. People are drawn to these men and women of money, power, who espouse so-called words of wisdom when they only seek to enrich themselves more at the expense of the many. These false prophets are seen everywhere, and they tell you of the many riches and trinkets that they have accumulated, and that you too can be like them. They tell you to send money to them for their prayer clause and other material buffoonery that will not avail you. They have their own radio and television stations where you can stay addicted to their version of what saith the Lord. But if you were to ask them to send you a donation, then your cries will have fallen on deaf ears. The rich don't get rich by giving away money, but by holding on to what they have as they accumulate more. Thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee. Luke 6:24. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Let's be very careful in allowing men to speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. While we sail to save the lost, let us be continuously mindful of the trappings of all that glitter is not gold, and that it is not a sin to have wealth. Only when we begin to worship our wealth over the needs of those less fortunate than ourselves. We come to the close of the seven churches in Asia. As we now prepare ourselves to take a deeper dive into things that he who which is, which was, and is to come will shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. I would also like to take the time to exhort those of you who have been listening to me under the sound of my weak and feeble voice, that if you have found these teachings to be of support to you in your walk, that you would share a lesson or two with someone who might also find them of need in their daily walk. I graciously thank each of you who have been supportive of me thus far. Those of you who are here in the United States, and also those of you of an international reach. And I thank the God of our salvation that I have been allowed to share with you the deposits that have been made in me. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.